Hello, Kramerica. This is Paul Douglas. Booyah! Coming right up on the Mad Money Machine, show number 7. We're going to have a free lunch. Our tool from the crib will help us make our free lunch. In the Mad Money Review segment, we will see why our free lunch is especially crackly. And the new money folks will find out more about buying a pre-prepared free lunch. All that and more, plus Guru Roulette on the Mad Money Machine! Hello and welcome to the Mad Money Machine. On each show, I review Jim Cramer's stock picking performance from CNBC's most watched show, Mad Money. And of course, on each show, I also have some other investment ideas and try to make it fun. Thanks for subscribing to the show through iTunes and putting it in the top 10 business podcasts. Thanks for putting your listening location on the Frapper map. And thank you so very much for voting for this show at the top right corner of the webpage. Before we get into it, a disclaimer. This show doesn't provide any investment advice. I'm just telling you what other people have said. Do your own homework before spending any money. Okay, for today, without further delay, let's go ahead and play Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. Then, for the selected guru, give a little background on their investment philosophy and try to pick an investment that matches it. So here we go! Nowhere near Warren Buffett this time on the wheel. Well, the winner this time is Jim Dines. I saw Jim Dines on the Nightly Business Report's Friday Market Monitor segment. This goes way back to last October. Yeah, they have their own sort of guru roulette every Friday, except on their show they actually talk to the guru. Jim Dines writes the Dines Letter, an advice and information for traders and investors. And on the Nightly Business Report, Paul Kangas interviewed him. And he said, Kangas said, you're very, very bullish on the uranium group. That's the group you feel is probably the same thing as the internet was 10 years ago. And Jim Dines said, yeah, that's right. I sat here and you interviewed me in this very chair 10 years ago at the dawn of the internet age. And I said to you that the internet's the biggest thing I'd ever seen and people got rich following me into them. And I'm telling you that uranium is going to be bigger than the internet, possibly by an order of magnitude. Well, Jim Dines says that the only blue chip stock that you could buy to get a play on uranium would be Cameco, symbol CCJ. He mentioned two very small ones, Laramide and Mega Uranium, but they're very thinly traded. He also said on the show, I like Whole Foods. He said his letter was one of the pioneers on recommending it, and he's re-recommending it. He's recommended it on the show a number of times over the years, and it's gone from 5 to 130. And I think it's going to go much higher, and we cover health a lot in my newsletter. And I think this organic foods are the wave of the future, and I think this will lead to the next market rally or be a leader in that. In fact, photography is another one of my loves. Here's where he gets off into a tangent. He says, in fact, photography is another one of my loves, along with organic food, and we've just come out with a nice picture book, a photography book, Cyclops.com. And Paul Kangas interrupts him before you could actually hear him say photocyclops.com. I had to rewind the tape a couple of times to hear that, and also look through the transcripts. So Kangas said, okay, we've got about 20 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our viewers? And Jim Dines said, if you remember, this was back in October, just after the hurricanes. He said, yes, two thoughts. Number one, we've got a parade of hurricanes, warning of global warming. And I think you should always remember that nature bats last. And second, life is short, so always have dessert first. Now, on Jim Dines' newsletter's website, in huge type font in the middle of the page, it says, panic-driven price spike in uranium stocks ahead. It's mind-boggling. We're in a uranium shortage so huge that half the world's 441 nuclear power plants might go dark. Yet 80 new plants are in construction or planning, mostly in Asia. If you think the fight between China and the West for the world's oil is big, this will be more like a nuclear bomb. And it's fueling an historic uranium stock price explosion that will dwarf oil surge. Well, I guess that remains to be seen. He was right from October about Cameco. It has definitely gone up since the time he's recommended it, even since it had gone up before the time he recommended it. Whole Foods hasn't gone up too much since he recommended it, but it's gone up a little bit. So we'll keep track of Jim Dines and see how uranium is doing in the future. I'll have a link to his website, and I'll have a link out to the transcript for that show from Nightly Business Report if you want to read more about what Jim Dines was recommending. And also I'll have a link out to his photocyclops.com. He's a photographer, and some of the shots are actually pretty interesting. Well, Jim Dines is our guru for show number 7. Free lunch. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. The phrase is sometimes reduced to the acronym TANSTAFL. Simply put, it means that one cannot get something for nothing. Even if it appears to be free, there's always a catch. You may get free food at a casino during happy hour, but the casino owner either figures out a way to get you to pay or get some sort of benefit, such as attracting new customers or having you drop some money into those slots. Jim Cramer says there is a free lunch, however, and it's in the form of diversification. He plays a game on his show and his radio show called Am I Diversified, where callers call in with the top 5 stocks and he decides whether or not those 5 stocks are in different sectors of the stock market. You've heard the phrase, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Well, is a basket of stocks a basket? Portfolio Smackdown that puts a basket, a collection of ETFs, exchange-traded funds, against a collection of Cramer stock picks. Those Cramer stocks are from 10 different categories of stocks, 10 different sectors of the market. Jim says that if you're going to buy individual stocks, you need to do your own homework. And the amount of homework you need to do is 1 hour per week per stock. So if you have 5 stocks, it's going to take you 5 hours a week to study those 5 stocks. 10 stocks, 10 hours a week, and on and on. Andrew Carnegie and Mark Twain are said to have another saying, though. They say, put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket. William Bernstein, the author of The Intelligent Asset Allocator, says, one of the most dangerous investment chestnuts is the idea that you can successfully diversify your portfolio with a relatively small number of stocks, the magic number usually being something like 15. And he quotes Burton Malkiel from A Random Walk Down Wall Street, says, by the time the portfolio contains close to 20 equal-sized and well-diversified issues, the total risk, standard deviation of returns, of the portfolio is reduced by 70%. Further increases in the number of holdings does not produce any significant further risk reduction. Well, Bernstein says this is all profound and important stuff, but unfortunately, highly misleading. To be blunt, if you think that you can do an adequate job of minimizing portfolio risk with 15 or 30 stocks, then you are imperiling your financial future and the future of those who depend on you. There are critically important dimensions of portfolio risk beyond standard deviation. The most important of these is the so-called terminal wealth dispersion. In other words, it's quite possible to put together a 15-stock or 30-stock portfolio with very low standard deviation, but whose lousy returns will put you in the poorhouse. I guess, at least compared to the S&P 500 index. He says the reason is simple. A grossly disproportionate fraction of the total return of the benchmark index came from a very few super stocks like Dell Computer, I guess, or Google in our time, which increased in value over 550 times. If you didn't have one of the half dozen or so of these in your portfolio, then you badly lagged the market. Bernstein says the only way to truly minimize the risks of stock ownership is by owning the whole market. Well, if you want to follow his advice and own the whole market, how do you do that? You know, Vanguard has an ETF called the Total Market Index, the VTI, Vanguard Total Market. And in fact, it's not the total market. It's just U.S. stocks, a lot of the stocks, maybe 4 to 5,000 stocks out of the 9,000 or so. That's why our portfolio that we're matching up against the Cramer portfolio contains stocks from around the world as well in other sectors. And we'll talk later in the show about mutual funds and try to find, I will show you some funds that match those ETFs if you're interested in owning the whole market. Here's the way I think we're supposed to play this. And Jim has mentioned this a little bit on his show. He says that for your retirement account, he is like a ultra conservative. And this is where I think we need to own the whole market in your retirement account. But his show is called Mad Money for a reason. And that's because the little bit of money that you got left over that you can afford to lose is your mad money. And it gives you the ability to pick some stocks and try to have some fun with it. And do what you can to invest and learn about companies and try to beat the market. And if you don't, well, you've lost a little bit, but you haven't lost your entire retirement portfolio. Let's get into a little listener feedback right now. Gary writes, Paul, thanks for the blog. I noticed recently that before even Cramer comes on air to recommend a stock, that stock has already gone up 5 to 10%. He's looking at level two quotes. How is this possible? People know what he will recommend before he comes on. Well, you know, someone out on the net suggested that callers into the lightning round hear what he's recommending and they buy the stock with market orders. Now, you know the show is taped an hour or so earlier, and I'm sure the callers are warned not to trade on anything they hear until they see it on the show, but how would you police that? I sure hope Cramer keeps a tight ship, and I'm sure he does, because people on his staff would have a tremendous unfair advantage of knowing what stock he's about to spout. And from the Cramer crackle numbers that I've compiled, they'd have a sure way of making money from the pop. Call it crackle arbitrage. Well, if you've checked out the madmoneymachine.com/secret webpage, available only to listeners, then you'll see on there a list of books that I'm interested in. One of them's called Getting Things Done, but I just can't find the time to read it. My wife has a book about how to get your things organized, and she can't find it. When Cramer preaches a stock on his televangelism show, his followers move it the next day, or even within minutes. I call this the Cramer crackle. For example, last Tuesday he mentioned Rediff.com as the Indian Yahoo, or the Indian Google. On Tuesday it closed at $15.09. At 6:13 o'clock and 11 seconds Eastern Time, the first appearance in the ticker symbol at the bottom of the TV was 1 minute later up 68 cents. Then another minute later was up $1.78. Another 20 seconds later, up $2.29. And just 2.5 minutes after he got the letter F out of the ticker symbol REDF, it was up $2.78. The stock traded 500,000 shares between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock Eastern Time. The 90-day average is just 393,000 shares per day. The day volume, the day after he mentioned it, was 12 million shares. That was one of the all-time largest Cramer crackles. Well, what about Monback stocks that are down below the Cramer crackle price? Stocks that he might still like, but are down below the original price. I got 10 of them for you, all since December 20th. First of all, Alberto Culver, symbol ACV, down 2%. Genentech, DNA, down 7%. Neurocrine Biosciences, symbol NBIX, down 5.5%. Boeing, symbol BA, his favorite Dow stock, down 3.5%. PW Eagle, symbol PWEI, makes PVC pipes for natural gas, down 9%. Medicis Pharmaceutical, symbol MRX, makes the anti-wrinkle injections Restylane, down 6%. Matsushita Electric, the last of the seven samurai, symbol MC, down 2%. Lexar Media, LEXR, the flash media play, down 14%. Amgen, AMGN, the most undervalued of the biotechs, down 3%. And Applebee's, down 4.5%. Now, these stocks are all down not from the crackle price, the price after he mentioned the stock. These stocks are down those percentages from the previous day's closing price before he mentioned the stock. So they're really down. Take a look. It's time now to go pumping for profits. This is where we examine the difference between an ETF portfolio of buy and hold index funds with actively managed Cramer stocks that are his featured stocks in 10 different categories. Which one will win in the portfolio smackdown? Well, as of Friday afternoon, the market is really going up, and the ETF portfolio is up about 6.5%, which is fantastic performance for just within 1 month. To get that kind of return on a portfolio is wonderful. Hopefully, we can hang on to some of that stuff for the rest of the 2006. The Cramer portfolio is up about twice that amount, up 12%. Some outstanding performers in the portfolio currently are Seagate Technology, up 33.5%, Talisman Energy, up 16%, and Bancolombia, up 14%. I'm glad to see Citi Trends finally making a big move. It's up 6.5%. And some of the laggards remain as Altria, Palomar Medical, and Sara Lee, all down about a percent or two. This show's all about a free lunch, diversification, and our tool in the crib this time helps us make our free lunch. What I mean is, it helps us to make sure that our portfolio is well diversified. And the tool is the Morningstar Instant X-Ray. It's available free on the web, and I've got a link to it from madmoneymachine.com. The Instant X-Ray tool analyzes your holdings and breaks it down by asset allocation, stock style, sector, stock type, and world region. I've run both the ETF portfolio and the Mad Money Machine Cramer portfolio through it. One difference that really jumped out at me between the two portfolios was the exposure to Latin America. The Cramer portfolio has about 19% exposure there, and the ETF portfolio has only about 2% exposure there. Also, in the energy sector, the Cramer portfolio is at about 22%, while the ETFs are only at about 7%. The S&P 500, by contrast, is about 10% for energy. I encourage you to try the Instant X-Ray tool on your portfolio, or you can practice using it by putting in the data from the portfolio page of the MadMoneyMachine.com website. You can open two browsers, or two tabs if you're using the Firefox browser, and copy the data from the Mad Money Machine portfolio page into the Instant X-Ray tool. See for yourself the results. Go ahead, go make a free lunch and diversify your portfolio. In the new money segment today, what are mutual funds, what are index mutual funds, and what's the difference between index funds and whatever else there is? Mutual funds are the pre-prepared version of a free lunch. They're the buffet line of a free lunch. They're the all-you-can-eat, steak and seafood, surf and turf of a free lunch. You need to own a widely diversified collection of stocks in order to get what Cramer called the only free lunch in the business. You can do what millions and millions of others have done, and that is to own some mutual funds. A mutual fund is a type of investment that gathers together money from many different people and buys stocks or other investments. Mutual funds typically own hundreds of different stocks, but how does the mutual fund company decide which stocks to buy? Well, most mutual funds hold stocks that are chosen by a manager or team of managers who try to decide which companies will do the best in the future. These mutual funds are called actively managed funds because there's someone actively making decisions every day on whether to buy or sell stocks to make up the fund. Another type of mutual fund simply buys the stocks that are in a predefined list of companies called an index. You may have heard of the S&P 500 index or the Dow Jones Industrial Average index. There are several mutual funds that simply buy the stocks that make up these or other predefined lists of companies. And these are called passively managed or index mutual funds. Usually there's no need for a manager to decide which stocks to buy or sell in these funds every day. Which type of mutual fund should you buy? Actively managed mutual fund or passively managed mutual fund? Well, that doesn't have an easy answer. But here are some things you should know. Actively managed funds have to pay more money to the people who do the management of the mutual fund. Therefore, actively managed funds have to take some of the money they make, and instead of giving it to you, they give it to the managers. This money is called expenses, and every mutual fund has expenses, but some have higher expenses than others. Index mutual funds usually have very low expenses because they don't need to pay as much money to managers to try to predict the future of stocks. They just buy and hold the stocks from the list. Do actively managed funds make you more money than index funds? Here's one thing that's almost certain. You'll pay more expenses with actively managed funds than index funds. You know, on the Mad Money Machine portfolio page, we have the ETF and the Cramer portfolios. In a sense, the ETF portfolio represents an index fund, and the Cramer portfolio represents an actively managed fund. In the Cramer portfolio, I'm the manager, and I should be getting paid, right? Oh, never mind that. You can see that we've already made 3 trades in the Cramer portfolio. This has caused some additional expenses to be paid in commissions to trade the stocks, and also short-term capital gains that will be taxed at a higher rate. I promised earlier in the show to give you a mutual funds that match the ETFs in the portfolio. Well, for example, the Vanguard Total Stock Market Mutual Fund, VTSMX, replaces the VTI. The Vanguard Midcap Fund, VIMSX, replaces the VO ETF. And the Vanguard Small Cap Tax Managed Fund, VTMSX, replaces the VB. All the rest are listed on the website. Go take a look. When you own mutual funds, when you own hundreds of stocks all at once in a nice pre-packaged free lunch, you own a mad money machine. Hey, if you like the music that starts out the beginning of the Mad Money Machine, you can find it at music.podshow.com. It's by Uncle Feather. It's called Runaway Train. And if you like the music that's playing right now, it's by Dennis Kitchen. It's called Groove It, also at music.podshow.com. Well, that's it for the Mad Money Machine. Please subscribe to the show and get it every time there's a new one. We'll take another spin at Guru Roulette, and we'll look and see how our portfolio for 2006 is shaping up. Don't forget to read the website at madmoneymachine.com. And please, send your questions, comments, complaints, criticisms, or just suggestions for improvement to feedback@madmoneymachine.com. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes stock to make a mad money machine. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. All music played on this program was made possible by music.podshow.com. The Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, TheStreet.com, Real Money, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, Mr. Boyer and the producers of this program do not make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness, nor do they assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by Mr. Boyer and any of his guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.